Let's go to Isaiah 61 and 3. I have some new revelation to talk to you about that I think you'll agree. And you know, a lot of things we just got in the habit of saying, including myself, we heard it from somebody else, and we never really proved it ourselves. We just kind of heard it, so we repeat it. And I'm glad some of those things aren't heaven and hell. I hope and pray we got the doctrine right. But as we study the Word of the Lord, you find new revelation in it. And sometimes it's kind of like the Old Testament began to disappear and fade away because the new revelation kind of took its place. And sometimes when you look at scriptures that you've heard a certain way all your life, you're like, okay, that's what it means. And then this new revelation comes, you're like, well, that carried me this far, but it ain't going to carry me the rest of the way. I need this fresh revelation. And everything likes something fresh, don't you? I mean, you like stale bread. You like, you know, the manna that fell from heaven was fresh every morning. And my dogs, I'm telling you, I can put fresh water in that pan. Oh, they can't wait to get fresh water. And so I want to bring fresh word to you tonight. Isaiah 61 and 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Did you know you can mourn in Zion? You can mourn in the church. You can be in the church and be, I mean, you can be saved and sad. Does that make sense? You ought not be sad and be saved, but some people are saved and sad. But them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. I preached a sermon, I don't know if you remember this, years ago, called There's Help for the Ugly. And that's what I call it, help for the ugly, beauty for ashes. And I said, y'all look at each other and say, there's still help for you. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of a lifted up spirit, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. How many trees are out there? See, you're not a tree until you have beauty, you have joy, and you have praise. The trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I want to talk about the planting of the Lord. Lord, I'm glad that you're a planner and a planter. And wherever you plant, you have already planned. And don't go by me, Lord, because sometimes I plant and I plan later. And I move what I planted and it dies. Help me, Lord, to go by your pattern in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Just a little of my own thoughts here. I'm sorry. But you will be trees. Now, you're a tree. Man's life, he said, is a tree. That's what he says. You'll read another place. And so even when they went into a place, he told them, don't cut all the trees, for a man's life is a tree. He said, leave the trees. If you cut all the trees, what are you going to eat? And so the trees of righteousness should have beauty. We're not talking about super, I'm talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Abigail had a beautiful what? Countenance. It was the Spirit of the Lord. It wasn't because she was necessarily a beauty queen. Let me tell you, the beauty is very temperamental. Ugly is just ugly. But beauty is very temperamental. It don't take but one surgery and you're not beautiful anymore. One car wreck, you're not beautiful anymore. A little age and you're not beautiful anymore. Now you can make up all that stuff you want to, but it doesn't extend your life. No, that stuff extends your life. And so he said, I want to trade you ashes for beauty. And I want you to have joy for your mourning and praise for your heaviness so that you might be called trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness, I like that. The Lord, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We do all this stuff that we might get glorified. Yeah. I told Brother Doucette, he got some eye surgery, he's done, he's not wearing glasses. And I said, you look 10 years younger, a lot younger. Oh, he was beaming then. No, I'm just picking. God gets the glory. That you may be a tree of righteousness, God gets the glory. I want to talk about the planting of the Lord. And one of the first things that God did at the end of creation was to plant a garden. Amen. How many planted a garden this year, Brother Valentine? You plant a garden? Yeah, you plant a garden? It been raining on your garden? It's been raining on every day on the garden. Now, I want to show you, this is where Revelation is going to come in, so I want you to stay with me. So, in Genesis 2 and 5, And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God hath not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Okay. But we're talking about every plant of the field. So let's draw us a field. And the field always represented what? The world, right? And the world always represented to us the world. Worldly. Don't be worldly, right? And so the world was the sinful place. So let's just draw a little. This is the portion we will consider. It's much bigger, but there's trees. You know, there's trees. That looks like a man. Okay, trees. They're just all over here. There's trees. 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 Okay. Trees everywhere. It's the field. Now, I don't care how much, brother, y'all do a great job with the yard and you go plow that, you know, mow that field out there. Don't mow it for a few years. Let's see what happens. It'll be trees. The old Pine Shadows golf course, they just bush hogged it the other day. It used to be a golf course and it had greens on it and fairways and all that, and it collapsed. It went bankrupt and they didn't do anything with it. You couldn't find your golf ball if you could even see to hit it, because there was nothing but bramble and trees started coming up. So this is the field. This is the world. Okay, stay with me now. Okay, so there was no man to till the ground. Because here's the deal. You don't need a man to till the ground in the field. You don't see anybody out in and I'm going, the field is where the trees are. I'm not talking about the fields like we call fields. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about just out in the boondocks, as we call it. You don't see anybody hoeing around cypress trees trying to plant a garden or anything. You don't have to cultivate. It just grows. So there was no man to till there because he didn't need it. It grew on its own. And the water came up from the ground and it watered all the earth, the face of the earth. So if you just supply water to the field, you don't have to do anything. Trees will come up. Pine trees, tallow trees, for sure tallow trees, they'll all come up. Without you going out there breaking up the ground or doing anything. Or you got that point. Okay. But there went up a mist from the earth, and it watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. Guess what? We're still in the field. We're still in the field. And the Lord God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. So Adam was created out of field dirt. That's right. He was created out of field dirt. And I'm going to prove all this to you. It's right here. But we've never seen it before. So he was not made out of nursery dirt or garden dirt or topsoil that you go pick up. This good stuff. He was made out of the world. He was made out of the field. And I'm going to show you. Woo, it's a type and a shadow of things to come. So I've learned that early in planting things, sooner you can get it into the ground where it belongs, where you want it to belong, the quicker it will adapt to the soil it's going to grow in for the rest of its life. And so a guy told me one time, and I probably told you this before, but not everybody was here, so I'll say it again. We have visitors tonight. I don't do good with peach trees. I gave up with peach trees. I gave up on a lot of planting lots of things. But peach trees is one of them. And so I went up to a restaurant one time up at Toledo Bend, and the guy owned peach orchards. And he's standing beside a peach tree, and the peach tree's just like way taller. And beautiful peach tree, you know, loaded with peaches. And so I asked the guy, he was there, I said, "How old is that tree?" He said, "How old do you think it is?" I said, 10 years, something like that. He said, 18 months. I said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "I plant mine. They're not that big in 18 years. He said, "I'll tell you why." I said, "Tell me." He said, "You're getting them out of a bucket, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I buy them. They're this tall." He said, "That's the problem. They're already root bound." You know how many root bound Christians we got? You ever pulled a plant out of the bucket, the roots just do this, and they're knotted up like that, and yes, God, you ain't going to change me. I've been living this way all my life, don't you? God can't even do anything with those folks. He can plant them, but they're not going to grow. But this guy said, I took that tree that you see was about that big around when I planted it. It was a switch. And as soon as I grafted it and the graft took, I planted it right where I wanted it to be. And that's the results. So what I've learned is when you find where you belong, stay there. Yes, amen. Stay there. Get in the ground where you belong and put your roots down there. Because every time you transplant the tree, and I've killed a few of them doing that, you set it back. You set it back. Now, I'm not talking about maybe you didn't do well in this church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in living for God, in your daily living for God. So God doesn't really transplant us. He plants us where he wants us to be. He puts us where he wants us to be. So the planting, the Lord plans where he wants to plant. And sometimes I plan and I change my mind. But the planting of the Lord is on this wise, that God puts a plant where he wants it to grow. Now, listen close. He puts the plants where he wants it to grow because he's going to put you among the things that he's planted. So rather than being transplants and going where we don't belong, I want to be where God wants me to be. And God will place me among the things he has already planted. So the trees of the field and the forest, when you look out there, they don't need to be cultivated. But those of a garden need to be cultivated. Do you hoe your garden any? You do fertilize, you do anything? You trim it back any? Okay, you do all those things. See, that's the difference between the field and a garden. In the field, you can just water it and it'll do whatever it's going to do. In a garden, you can't do that. You have to have someone to dress it. We have to have someone to take care of it. And anyone that takes care of a garden is a gardener. Okay, this is deep. The Bible called him a husbandman. Or a dresser. Now, I help myself out, and I'll fill you in. A dresser is not the drawers that's not what we're talking about. A dresser is one that cultivates, prunes, trims, and so forth, that it might produce fruit. If you don't do those things, you don't get much off of it. And so the Lord God, in verse 8, planted a garden. Now, all the trees, he said, were there that had grown before. They were in the field, and they just got water, and they grew. And then Adam, he takes, comes out of the dirt of the field. Now, God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he formed from the field into his world. He took him out of the world and brought him to a place that God had prepared for him. So God said, I'm going to put you, and he's going to place the man inside of a garden. This garden will have little trees, it'll have shrubs, it has fruit, it has herbs, it has all this, and it has three rivers that's going to go through it. And there is this man. That's the man. There he is. God got him from here. And he moved him. And he placed him in the place where he planted the garden. God planted a garden. And he took the man that he took out of the world and out of the field and brought him to where he wanted him to be. Sound familiar? And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now this is the garden. This is the garden, okay? And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They're in the garden. So we have these two trees in the midst of the garden. Okay, they're like side by side. And it's the same way decisions are today. Good and evil. Life or death. Paul said, when I would do good, Evil's always present. Same thing. And so he said, in that garden, everything you can eat of it, but that one tree. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden. He took him where? Out of the field. That's where he made him from. And he put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, when you dress something, again, you cultivate it, you hoe it, you fertilize it, you do all these things. And what has been misunderstood is we always said, including myself, oh, all Adam had to do was pick the fruit and eat it. That's not correct. I'm going to show you from these scriptures that he did till the ground. He did work in the garden. That's what a dresser does. That's what a dresser does. He put him in there to keep it. Keeping it's not just being there eating it. He didn't say, I put him in there to eat it. He said, I put him in there to dress it, and I put him in there to keep it. So Adam has a job. It's a good job. Because here is the deal of God's planting. He said, you will become trees of righteousness that I may get the glory. So here it is, part of it, what I want to tell you. When you work in the kingdom of God, that's the kingdom, then what happens is you eat the fruit of your labor, but give him the fruit of your lips. Amen. You get to eat the fruit of your labor. Adam wasn't out there looking around trying to scrumble up something to eat out in the field because he was in God's kingdom. And he was eating of the fruit of his labor doing God's work, and he was giving God praise. How do I know that? Because the Lord visited him and talked to him. The Lord didn't meet him at the table and say, listen, what are we having today to eat? He visited with him that he might collect the fruit of his lips. So that we find many times in Scripture, the fruit of our lips. David said, his praise shall continually be on my lips. And so we praise God for putting me here. I praise God for my heritage. I praise God for my peace. I praise God I'm not like the rest of the world. I praise God for the love, the joy, the things I have in his garden and in his kingdom. Are you with me? So you got to please understand this, that the trees of the field required only water. They didn't require a dresser. And that's why it says, and there was no man to till the ground. Because you didn't need a man to till the ground out in the boondocks. But in the garden, you must have a tiller. You must have a man to till the ground. And so what Adam did was gave assistance to the trees in the garden that he might keep them, grow them, partake of them, and give God a favorable report. Amen. So God did not put the man among the trees in the field. Right? He didn't. He's not asking you and I to survive in the jungle either. You got to get this, folks. He's not asking us to survive in the world. He's asking us to go to his kingdom. Seek ye first my kingdom, not the stuff of the world. And all the other things I'll add to you, but seek my kingdom first. Work in my kingdom. And the Bible says he's coming back. He's not looking for people eating fruit. He's looking for laborers. Will I find laborers when I come back? So he put man among the trees or the plants of the garden to be the husbandman and to tend to these plants so that he may partake and give God the praise. And inside of this garden are trees and there are herbs. There's everything this man could possibly want is there, but he does have to take care of it. And he put him in the midst of that garden. So the field of plants required no man to till it, but the garden required somebody to dress it and to keep it up. And Adam was that dresser of the garden. He was the one that would manicure the garden and give God the praise. He had the privilege of partaking of what God had provided. That's us today. We have the privilege, the privilege of partaking of what God has provided. And it's interesting that at the fall of man, the description of the place that Adam hid from God. Let's see where he hides. Genesis 3 and 7. And the eyes of both of them were open. Okay, so Eve's there now. Eve. there, and their eyes, they're both eyes, their eyes are open. Now, where was Eve created? In the garden. Adam was created in the field. And he said, I'll call her woman. Out of the womb of man came her. Okay. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves. Now, I've never seen fig. You ever been driving through the forest and see fig trees growing? No, they have to be manicured. They have to be kept. They have to be watered. They have to be fertilized. See? So this was what was in the garden, these fig trees. So they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. I went and picked a couple figs the other day, and I itched all over. I don't know how they took it. Don't get a mental picture of that. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. Now, here's another misnomer. The voice of the Lord was walking in the garden. No, voices don't walk. Voices travel through the air. Who was walking was Adam and Eve. They were walking and God was talking. You need just a little pause there. And as they heard the voice of the Lord, God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they were the ones walking because the Lord would meet them with his voice in the cool of the day. And where's my praise for today? Where's the fruit of your lips for today? Did you enjoy your day? Okay. Do you meet God like that too? And Adam and Eve had sinned, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. See, it's now separating the trees of the field and the trees of the garden. So now we're beginning to prove we had these two different things. We had trees of the field and we had trees of the garden, and they ate of the tree in the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, and they went and sowed fig leaves from the trees of the garden, the bushes or whatever they are in the garden, and then they hid among the trees of the garden. So they hid among the things that God had planted. Kind of like we do. The very things that God blesses us with so many times, we hide behind. God can bless you with good jobs. He can bless you with good cars. He can bless you with all good things. And we hide behind them. I can't serve you today, God, because I got to go do such and such. Well, where'd you get that from? God planted him in a place, or placed him in a place to take care of the things he had planted. Now he's hiding behind the things that God had planted. It's not over with, as they say, but wait, there's more. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now this is not the garden. That ground out there, it already has thorns and thistles in it. This wasn't the day thorns and thistles showed up. In my garden, I try to keep them out. And Adam probably had to keep them out too. But out there, they're already there. And so he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. It was already cursed for his sake. And watch. In the sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So now it's not going to be so easy. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. I'm taking you out of the garden, and I'm putting you back where I got you from. Now, you be right by his side, okay? Because that's where you came from, and if I send him, I'm sending you too. So, what we see here is that they now will eat of the herbs of the field, but it's not going to come so easy. Thorns and thistles, trust me, I know. I'm about ready to cut them blueberries down. I'm tired of fighting the grass around them already. I know it's quick, but I'm already getting tired. Because I'm tired of fighting the weeds and all this stuff. But in the garden, he didn't have to do that. So now I was out there, and I thought, this ain't worth it, y'all. I can go buy blueberries. I've got enough money to go buy me some blueberries. This is not worth it. I can get some from Brother Petrie. So now he's out there, and by the sweat of his brow, guess what? That's good for him because he didn't have to work so hard. Let me tell you what, hard work will keep your joints limber. Sweat's good for you now. All of a sudden, exercise is good. So now it's going to help him keep him alive. Because if he goes out there and does nothing, he dies. Nothing to eat, no exercise, he dies. So Mr. Field Dirt goes back to the dirt. He goes back to till the ground from whence he came. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, from out of it wast thou taken. And from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. I took you out of the world. Now this is the message behind all this. I took you out of the world, and I gave you everything you needed to live for me. And look at you. Look at you. So now that you have, you're hiding from me. I get sick of people saying I'm running from God. You can't run from God. Hello? You can't run from God. How dumb do you have to be? You can't run from him. He's a spirit. And so he said, because you have done this, I'm going to put you back in the world from whence you came. God brings us out of the world. He expects us to live for him. And you'll eat the fruit of your labor and give God the praise. But if you're going to hide behind what he's provided and partake of that other tree and be disobedient, he said, oh, no. I'll put you back out in the field from whence you came. There's more. Verse 21. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, knowing that it was going to be really rough out there, and clothed them. Amen. God covered them even in the field. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life, which was in the garden, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Did this make a circle or not? Do you understand this now? Like you never, maybe y'all all knew this. This is really new to me. So the Lord put him back out to till the ground from the place he was taken. And now he's just like the rest of the world. And you come in and taste of the powers of the world to come. And live for God a season. And then continue in sin. He says, No. I'll put you back in the world from whence you came. And you can struggle like everybody else who has no hope. Adam had to trim some bushes, but he enjoyed it. I don't enjoy it. He had to do it, but he enjoyed it because he could partake of it. But out there in that world, there's nothing to partake of that's enjoyable. It doesn't last. So he drove out the man and placed him on the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims, angels, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Do you know what Christ became? The tree of life. The tree of life. He made a way back for fallen man to be in good grace. Christ came that you and I might now again partake of the tree of life. But he was not going to let Adam back into that garden. So God brings us, my brothers and sisters, as I close tonight, he brings us out of the world and he plants us. He places us among the things he's planted that we might enjoy life. For I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Adam had abundant life. Woo! He had life and to spare because he was like God. He was made in his image. He could live forever if he wouldn't have messed up. But he began to die when he sinned. But just as Adam and Eve failed, so do we all. Amen? But rather than confessing and repenting, as they did not do, they hid behind the things God planted. You and I can come to God boldly, the Bible says, to find grace and mercy in the time of need. So when you need help, He's there. This is what's changed. He has opened back up the way of life for all of us that are willing to repent and say, I'm sorry. You know what? I have not lived my life like I should. I have abused God. I'm telling you, we've all abused God's mercies and grace. And I've not lived the way. But God, forgive me. God, help me as they come tonight. Help me that I would get past this and live for you and confess. I just believe, Brother Valentine, with all my heart. I may be wrong, but this is what I believe. I believe if Adam and Eve would have come out from behind that tree when they heard the Lord, the voice of the Lord, they said, Lord, I'm right here. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I'm right here. Lord, I have messed up. I believe God in his mercy and in his grace would have said, you know, I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to let you stay right here. But when you try to hide from God and you try to run from God, you find God's not tolerant of that. He said, Adam, where are you? He said, I hid because I was afraid. I close with this scripture in Ecclesiastes. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? This is a man that had it all. And he writes the book of the preacher, the ecclesiastical book. And he starts saying, there's a time to plant. If you read ahead of this, time to plant, a time to pluck up that which planted. A time to love and a time to hate. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Time to heal and a time to mend. All these times. But in the end, he says, what did all my stuff mean? All this stuff I tried to accumulate, it doesn't mean anything. And so he said, let me read, it's still up there. What profit hath he that worketh that wherein he laboreth? But this I know, when you labor in the kingdom of God, you're profitable. As long as Adam stayed here and labored in that garden, God was pleased with him. And he was profitable. But when you get out here in the world, it's not profitable. And at the end you say, I've lived my life and look, I have nothing to show for it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, meaning eternity is in man's heart. Where do we go from here? So that no man can find out the work of God maketh from the beginning to the end. You don't know what God's doing in your life and with your life, but I know what he's doing right now. This is as strange as it comes. You remember Samson, when he loved a woman of the world? You remember that? He said he loved a woman of Timnah, Philistine. And he told his daddy and mama, came to him and said, can't you find one of our own? Oh, you upset with you. I would be too. I raised my kids, you know, you're going to date what we believe and you're going to love what we believe and we're going to keep believing what we believe. But Samson, Nazarite vow, church boy, raised under the pew, he said, nah, she pleases me. But will you read the fine print there? It says, and his father and mother knew not that this was of the Lord. His father, I would have done the same thing, but his father and mother did the right thing, but they didn't know that him loving that worldly girl was of the Lord. because loving her caused him to hate the Philistines to the point of destroying them, which is what God wanted done. So that in his death, he killed more than he did when he was alive. And in the end, he came back to God. So sometimes moms and dads and whoever you are, you don't see where God's bringing your life. That's why the scripture says here, no man knows what God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Would you stand with me tonight? God created you to enjoy this life. He did not give you life that it would be a drudgery and a pain. I don't want to wake up tomorrow and I want to pull the shades down. He gave you life that you might enjoy it. It is the gift of God to work and enjoy your life. And maybe tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you're at. And I don't know where you'll be. And I don't know maybe what God is doing with you. But this I do know. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And all I'm trying to do tonight is to plant a seed of hope in your life to let you know that all the past really doesn't matter. What matters is it brought you here. It brought you here. It brought you to this place. And this is the place where you're either going to turn and live for God or you go back into the world. This choice, what tree will you eat of? Adam, what will you do? All this can be yours. What tree? If you choose the wrong tree, you go back into the world and back into the field and you're going to struggle and you're going to have problems. But if you stay in there, you got me. You got me. You got me. You got my voice. You got my hope. You got everything inside of here. As they sing tonight, I don't know, maybe there's one, two, three. Somebody would like to make their way up here tonight and say, Lord, I'm tired of living the way I was living. I want to. Hallelujah. God drove them out. Did you hear that word? You ever seen them drive cattle? Yeah, they didn't want to leave. I won't tell you, they didn't want to leave. No, who wants to leave the peace of God and the mercies of God and the things of God? They didn't want to leave. But if you don't live for God, you can't have His peace. You can't have His love. You can't have His mercy. But it ends, that chapter ends with say that He kept the way of the tree of life. That He might keep the way. And when Christ came, what did He say? I am the way and the life and the truth. And in Him was life. And the life of Him became the light of men and the life of men. In Him was light and it became the life of men. He gave man life. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to live without Him, would you? I don't want to live without Him. If I'm ever going back to the field, take me out now. Take me out now. Adam went back to the place he came from, and so does everyone who gets out of the grace of God. But God's mercy and God's grace goes far beyond. It's far reaching. I don't care far. You can be off the map, so to speak. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care where you're at. God's mercy and His grace reaches beyond your reach. You can't reach Him, but He can reach you. When man could not go to heaven, He came from heaven to reach us. Hallelujah. Raise your hands one more time as we pray. God, I pray that some way, somehow, that this is a turning point in somebody's life where they realize it ain't happening in the world. It's not happening. And it never is. And the longer they live in the world, the more good life they waste that they could enjoy in living for You. God, I'm thankful that You came and gave Your life that we might have life abundantly. And I ask You, Lord, let this little sermon somehow penetrate somebody's life and it be a moment in their life to turn around and come back to the tree of life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Greet our visitors before you leave and we will see you Sunday.